get you poppin' goosebumps, goosebumps. Gotta get you poppin' goosebumps, gotcha. They gonna get you poppin' goosebumps, goosebumps.
Hello, welcome to Drunken Book Club. I'm your rapidly aging host, Christopher the Ruple, joined with
Perfectly regular aging Noelia.
An
old man Weiss.
Just really old man Weiss who just broke his leg or knee.
Yeah. I guess the people who listen to Drunken Book Club wouldn't have known that yet, because that was only on Disney Movie Muses that we announced that.
That was the last time. Yeah, that was before.
And hey, welcome back to the official, unofficial Goosebumps podcast, where we talk about Goosebumps short stories, give yourself Goosebumps, and Goosebumps books. Guys, do you know what today's episode is on?
Old people.
Yes, it is. An old story, if you would. I had them watch the TV show episode to kind of give them a framework for this one, because at first I was like, I'm going to keep it a surprise. I don't want to ruin it. But then I was like, I really want to watch this episode.
It was good.
It's a very fun, dumb episode. Starring Wish.com Blanche.
There it is.
From Golden Girls.
We have Blanche at home.
Yeah, we have Blanche at home. Asian ripoff Blanche.
Yep.
It was pretty funny. Yeah. I get secondhand embarrassment so bad.
And episode was so heavy on that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I died.
Yeah. She's actually a ghost. She's the ghost next door.
She's a ghost. Ooh. Basket ghost.
Yeah. She's a basket ghost. We just watched that episode from Louie. Normally we start off with the first impressions, and I would ask you guys what you thought an old story was about. But since you already watched the episode, there's really no point in asking that.
Well, what direction do you think it was going to go in the beginning? Like, personally?
I didn't see the old, like, the grandma turning the kids old. Like, yeah. I just thought she was, like, an alien. Like, I thought something was going to happen that way. So
yeah.
That's what I thought, because I think it was all goopy. And I was like,
Fair enough. I was about to say, in the show, the prune cookies look, like, super goopy. They look like venom, almost.
Yeah.
They're kind of symbiote with
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. I thought they were, like, little parasites.
Yeah,
like alien
they were
parasites.
Like worms or something. Yeah.
Oh, flatworms.
She came in the next morning wearing her headscarf and stuff, and I was like, okay, she's dressing younger. Is she stealing their age?
Yeah.
That's the direction I thought.
I like that you think she was dressing younger and not like a witch. I thought she was just dressing like an aunt.
Oh, is she supposed to look like a witch? Oh.
So, they never officially call her a witch this early on or anything, but it is confirmed in a later Goosebumps comic book that she's part of, like, a witch community.
Oh.
That's an online community as well.
Oh.
Because she got added on the website.
Oh.
So they're, like, at Aunt Dahlia and a couple other, like, Sarah Beth, I think, was another one from Monster Blood.
Yeah.
And a couple others I don't remember.
That's funny.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
One of those Facebook groups that just adds you one day.
It's just the lore.
Yeah, it's just extended lore.
Oh, okay.
Not written by RL, though. It was one of the later comics, not later comics, but, like, comics recently, that had no input from RL Stine, as far as I know. I haven't read them myself. I just know these little facts, because I did my research.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he wrote them, but he may have had, like, you know, like, and produced, you know, executive produced by R.L.
Yeah.
Stine.
Kind of like how the Marvel movies are. It's like, different director, but produced by Kevin Feige.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. It's probably just like that.
Yeah,
R.L.'s got his finger in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Technically, he does, because he did write a Marvel comic.
He
wrote a Man Thing, a couple issues of Man Thing.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So bad. So bad. I remember reading them and being like,
that's funny.
I don't think this is how Man Thing is supposed to be written, because, like, I've never read a Man Thing comic before.
Yeah.
But apparently he was supposed to be, like, this, like, silent monster that, like, I think, like, the like, slogan for Swamp Thing is, if you fear the Swamp Thing, you burn, or something like that. Or anything that fears the Man Thing burns or something?
Yeah.
At the touch of the Man Thing?
That's weird.
Man Thing.
Man
I don't know how I feel
you can't
about
touch
that.
Him. That's a terrible name.
You can't touch the Man
Thing. He also has a tentacle face, so it's also gross.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could not deal with that.
No, not the mind flayers.
I hate tentacles.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so here's the story, and tell me if you heard this one already. Tom and John are home alone often as their parents work busy hours. Don't be afraid to interrupt with your notes, your jokes, comments, and other stuff like that. On this occasion, though, they are visited by a stranger claiming to be their Aunt Dahlia. The boys don't recognize her, but she knows who they are and let her in. As she enters the house, she offers to make cookies for the hungry boys. As the boys relax, Dahlia brings them the cookies. The boys are excited at first, but notice something that looks like a giant raisin in the middle. So in the book, it looks like a giant raisin, like an actual prune, versus... Which makes more sense. I feel like a jelly...
Yeah.
Prune jelly makes more sense than a prune right in the middle.
Honestly, yeah. I think they got those kind of cookies that have a little kiss in the middle, yeah. And then they just melted the kiss.
It was really like, black, though.
It was.
Yeah. They could have dyed it a little bit or something.
Oh, they could have, yeah, they could have done that.
Oh.
Maybe they put, like, black jello or something. Or dyed jello. Or some kind of gelatin.
Dyed black.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
They try to eat around it, but Dahlia scolds them and tells them that the prune in the middle is the best part.
Losing points for no virtual reality.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, this doesn't have virtual reality. They watch television, unlike the amazing virtual reality glasses in the TV episode.
So that's a difference.
Yeah.
Someone had fun. Some intern had fun making those.
Yeah. I figure that's more fun to put, like, kids props. Playing video games, you know, versus... Them just watching TV, you know?
It would make sense, especially if this was, like, the book was, like, later than when the show was coming out. They needed to make it fun
for the kids. You mean the show was later than the story?
Yeah.
You said the opposite.
Yeah, my bad. Switch that around.
Flip that and reverse it.
There you go.
Gives it for Chanier.
Thank you. I was about to do it.
Tom tries it and likes the cookies. Aunt Dahlia continues to watch the boys throughout the week and is cooking for them, and there's almost always prunes for them to eat. On one Saturday morning, Tom realizes he's feeling kind of stiff and his legs are achy, and that John suddenly has a pot belly and a bald spot. Even worse, though, Tom's balding and going gray. It's worse than my nightmare.
Honestly, he kind of pulled it off, though. Like, he had an old, like, both of them had their own ways
they kind of looking old, like an old man. They had old man faces for the most part.
They had old baby faces. I imagine that's what I'm going to look like when I get older.
Yeah.
Because I have a baby face. If I don't shave, maybe I'm okay. But if I shave while I'm old, I'm going to look like a kid with gray hair. Look like them.
Old man baby face. That's my name. Don't wear it out. Still get ID'd at the movie theater.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not 18, sir. Please exit. When Tom attempts to call his parents, Dahlia stops him and says, "They're too busy." Suddenly, the doorbell rings. It's a group of elderly ladies who have come to play bridge with Aunt Dahlia, and she's forcing the boys to learn as well.
Dude, she scared me because she's like, we'll call your parents in the show.
Yeah.
And then she, like, super gaslighted
the parents. Being like, oh, the shampoo they're using? And, like, she does mention, like, shampoo they use and stuff in there.
Yeah.
Which I feel like at the time it makes sense. Because, like, I feel like at that time a lot of people were, you know, extreme shampoos, you know.
Yeah.
Color your hair or whatever.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if there was a lot of lead in there.
I don't think they put lead in shampoo.
You never know. They put lead in Lunchables, so.
What?
Yeah, there's 75% or 85%, lead in Lunchables. It is the allowed amount of lead.
I don't think that's true. Where did you get this statistic from?
It wasn't quite that, no.
No, it wasn't, no?
Yeah,
there was a certain times amount more than the allowed
measure. Yeah, the allowed rate for Lunchables.
For lead. Yeah. Lunchables can contain however many Lunchables you want in it. But hopefully not lead.
Not logo lead.
I could be spreading fake news. I don't know. I'm just
kidding. Oh no, I read that one too. But it's a really interesting article. I just absolutely cannot remember the math of it right now.
Not right now.
It's Oscar Mayer. What do you expect? High levels of lead sodium found in Lunchables. Lead sodium.
Yeah.
Lead and sodium. Well, obviously the sodium makes sense.
Yeah, I'm gonna need that salt for my turkey.
This is really new, so that's why I probably haven't heard of it.
Yeah,
because like literally, I think the oldest article I found was 2 days ago. 3 days ago is like the oldest one so far.
I heard on TikTok, like a day ago, and I looked it up too.
Yeah,
I was like, nah, someone's lying.
Yeah. Well, there we go. See, at first I was like, you got this from TikTok. I'm not going to believe it. But upon doing my own research.
Yeah, no, I looked after it, too.
Yep. Google it. Where did I leave off? They're going to learn bridge. Have you guys ever played bridge before?
I don't know.
It sounds familiar, but I don't think I've ever played it.
It's just that old person game, you know?
It's a card game?
Yeah, I think.
I have no idea. I only know, like, the weird ones that you gamble with all the Mexicans. With all my Mexican family. Yeah. Like, they did all
with the card games that were not... It's called dominoes. Dominoes. That's what you play.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, stacking the dominoes into, like, a bridge shape.
Dude, our pastor and our elders at our church play dominoes during, like...
Oh, yeah, it throws me off.
Dude, they get, like... Like, they do the whole, like, slam and talking smack in a nice manner.
It's like a Japanese sports anime.
Yeah, like, that. They go hard, and then they're like... It's crazy.
That's how good Game of Dominoes goes.
I'm sorry, we're going on a tangent, but I just saw that Japan right now is having a Mexican festival.
What?
And they were dancing by also the rodeo. And if you don't know that song, it's like basically a line dance, a really fast line dance for a Spanish song. It's really fun. But they were dancing it out there.
That's cool.
And I was like, I want to go. I want to go there and speak some Spanish and see what they do.
Watch them speak Spanish better than you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I like that
you say it's like the thing they do, and it's like, this is from September 16th was the last time it was celebrated.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I just saw it on TikTok today.
Oh, my gosh.
2023, the last time Mexico's Independence Day was celebrated. It's Fiesta Mexicana for Japan, and they celebrated it in September 16th.
Ah, okay.
That's so random, but also kind of adorable.
Yeah.
It is adorable.
They do have the 2024 website up on Tokyo Cheapo.
I want to go one day.
It is in September. It's a free festival.
I know, they're dancing and I was like freaking out. But anyways, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good.
Talk about Mexican cards to Mexican Japanese.
Oh, right.
Mexican cards?
Yeah, well, from bridge to my Mexican family playing card games. What's on you?
Do you guys play bridge?
No.
No.
Your family?
He doesn't even know what bridge is.
I said I only knew, like, the certain ones that involved gambling.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Pair meet the old lady. The pair meet all the old ladies, and they're getting way too friendly with them, commenting on how they could live nicely on their retirement funds and other flirts like that. Aunt Dahlia then asks Tom to grab some milk as they're out, and he rushes at the attempt to escape this old lady harem. As he gets to the store, the clerk tells Tom that they're having a senior special on antacids. Tom realizes he's covered in wrinkles and more of his hair has fallen out, and what hasn't fallen out has turned white. He realizes that Aunt Dahlia has done this to him. When Tom returns home, he sees his poor brother on the couch looking old as hell and smothered by the old ladies.
Oh,
that is a quote from the book, is the term smothered by the old ladies.
Oh,
or else I would not have used that word.
I mean, it could just mean just, like, overbearing, you know?
See, this is where I also thought the story was going to go into a different direction. So I thought the old ladies were coming over so they could, like... steal more youth or something, like put up the boys on auction, take their youth. But no, she just wanted to introduce her friends.
You're going with a Get Out option.
Yeah.
you're thinking too hard about Get Out, and that's why.
Exactly.
I liked in the show that like all the people were commenting.
Yeah.
Like as an old person, so I was like, it's better than just, like, we're having a sale on seniors.
Yeah, because that was the only thing that really happened in the book, in the story,
yeah.
Was that they're like, oh, hey, sale on antacid. But, like, in the show, I feel like it's easier to, you know, have people looking at you and being like, oh, what's up with this old guy? Let's help him out, you know?
Yeah.
Tom grabs John and tells the ladies they need to take care of something. They discuss what's happening and decide to infiltrate Aunt Dahlia's room to find out how she has done this to them. As they're about to find something, they hear Dahlia coming and hide under her bed, which I think is so funny. It's like, it's such a little good thing to do. It's like, let's hide under the bed.
And then they complain about their bodies and stuff. And it's like, Are you that, like, they're small enough to get under the bed, but were you still, still nimble to be able to get down to the bed?
I know, that's what I was thinking was, I'm like, they're not nimble enough to get down there.
Or even to get out.
Yeah.
I feel like they're dream logic, like, get under something, even though you're probably very obvious looking, you just suddenly turn invisible.
Yeah.
If you're under furniture.
Very video game logic. They overhear Dahlia and one of the old crones discussing how they're excited to marry the boys and move to Florida.
Oh my gosh.
Aunt Dahlia says not before she pays her fees first, and she continues looking for the boys elsewhere.
Fees?
Yeah, the fees. Yeah, she's charging finders. For... She's charging them to get to these, what's it called? These child brides.
Oh my lord, okay.
These child brides.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, they are child brides.
Yes.
It's so messed up.
It's very fucked up.
It made me feel so creepy when it got to that point in the show, because you know that they're kids.
Yeah!
And old people make up.
Tom then discovers a mysterious jar with an anti-aging cream inside. There's the other difference. It's anti-aging cream in this versus baby food in the show.
Okay, I think baby food was way better, because they're both things that you could eat.
I feel like finding anti-aging cream makes more sense, though.
It does.
Versus finding baby food when their mom's not pregnant or anything like that. I know in the show they're like, mom has weird cravings when she's pregnant. It's like, mom's pregnant?
Yeah.
She's forming baby? they start putting some on themselves, and the effects of the prunes wears away. But as they're de-aged, the elderly crew has found them and grabs John. Tom escapes and heads to the kitchen. Aunt Dahlia is the only one who followed, and Tom grabs the first thing he can and splashes her with a mysterious liquid from the fridge. Aunt Dahlia screams in horror, "Not the prune juice!" Her skin wrinkled like paper, her teeth and hair all fell out, and finally, her face puckered like a rotten apple.
It was pretty gross.
Yeah, no, dude, the show
in the
like
show,
crazy.
She turns into, like, a freaking horror skeleton.
Yeah, just straight into dust.
She turns into what's called the skeleton from Home Alone, the Marv skeleton.
Yeah.
When being electrocuted. Yeah. She begs for the wrinkle cream, but it's too late. She shriveled into nothing and was gone with a puff of smoke. That night, the parents demand to know what happened to Aunt Dahlia, because they're actually in the story. They're not away on a vacation trip.
Okay.
As they argue, they realize Aunt Dahlia was never related to them and are terrible parents for leaving their kids with a complete stranger. Because they literally argue, no one crazy from our family would do this. And she's like, what are you talking about? She's from your side. And he's like, she's not my aunt. She's not my aunt. Oh my God. And they literally say they are terrible parents.
That's good. Well, I mean, that's good.
They at least admit it.
Yeah.
So, at school on Monday, Tom is having lunch with the new girl, and she comes to sit with him, obviously. He notices her lunch is all prunes. She says her Aunt Susan is in town, and she's crazy about prunes.
Oh, no.
Tom offers her half his sandwich and a piece of advice. Run.
That's what he said,
get
right?
Out.
I think it was get out. Let me double check what the actual wording was.
It would be great if it was get out.
Run for your life.
Aww.
It is run for your life. And that's the end. Alrighty, guys. Do you have any notes before I get into my notes or anything? Or anything
you'd
like to comment?
But I do like the last bit difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The de-aging or the finding the girl talking.
Finding the girl at school and with another thing approved. So it's like, there's more out there to worry about other than just that random aunt.
Yeah.
I feel like Aunt Susan is not a witch name as much as, like, Aunt Dahlia.
Really? Susan sounds like a witch name to me. But I've read Terry
I'm
Pratchett
I'm Susan,
stuff.
The good witch!
I'm about to say, Terry Pratchett has some, like, normal names.
His main witch's name is Tiffany.
Yeah, yeah.
And they make fun
Tiffany
of how
feels like a witch
is.
Name. I don't know. Tiffany feels like a witch name to me. I don't know.
I don't know.
Also, I totally forgot to mention, I made a drink today, but I accidentally Aunt Dahlia'd myself. and spilt it all over the couch and myself.
He was almost about to turn into dust, but we got some baby food and we made it okay.
I was craving baby food, and I was like, oh god, I'm gonna save this for later for when I'm like super fucking drunk tonight.
And it came in clutch.
Yeah, it came in clutch. I'm now 5 years younger.
Yep, he's about my age now.
What, 26? What? No. But no, what it was, I call it the Aunt Dahlia surprise. It's a whole can of a small prune juice with a shot of rum, a little bit of lime juice, and a little bit of sour mix, mixed together in a cup, and it was not half bad.
Yeah, when it was all done, it
surprisingly wasn't bad.
Oh,
I kind of like prune juice, so that kind of helps. But
I don't think I've ever tried prune juice.
You haven't?
No, have you?
I had to drink it when I was going through chemo because I wasn't able to go myself. They're like, yeah, we're going to make you drink prune juice because you need to
high in fiber, I guess.
Yeah.
Very high in fiber. Yeah, it helps you make.
Yeah, it made me go. It legit made me go. I drank like a big thing of it, too. Yeah.
You poor thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was going through like my tummy issues before the pandemic, I needed prune juice because like I was not pooping on the regular then. Ooh. I don't know why. And I mean, I fixed it. I don't know how I fixed it, but I poop like a mad machine now.
Yeah. I know we had a whole episode where we talked about this.
Yeah, more than likely.
We have good poops.
Yeah, I'm fucking link logs. Serpents come out of me.
You're kind of proud of it. Like,
You know, when you look down and you see a serpent in the toilet, you're not afraid. You're happy.
No, seriously. Like, I had some stomach issues, too. And it's like, when you have that good day,
yeah,
it's a good day.
Today was a good day. So here are some of my notes. Random pop culture items that appear in this book.
Oh, okay.
Oreos.
Oh.
And the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh,
it's a baseball team.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute.
I had to look up if they were still a team.
Are they?
They are, yeah. It's that blackbird with the orange beak that's going,
Oh.
You're like, if you see the logo, you're like, oh, that one. The one that kind of looks like the racist crows from Dumbo.
From Dumbo.
Oh, do they?
They kind of do. This gave me magpies. Yeah. Orioles. I don't know what the fucking Oriole is. I don't want to know. Don't correct me in the comments. I don't care enough. I'll look it up when I look it up.
Actually,
an Oriole is a bird from Baltimore that lives by the sea. And says mean things to you when you cough out loud.
And its main food is prunes.
Loves to shit on people's cars.
Can you imagine if birds get their hands on, or get their
get their hands? What is this, Mordecai?
Yay!
If they get their wings on prunes, we are all screwed.
I bet there's like birds that eat prunes.
You got a baton in your pocket. Are you just happy to see me? Sorry.
I don't know what he's talking about.
It's a tangent, but it's like, there's a song going on TikTok, and it's called Cop Cuties.
Yeah.
It's a show, The Rookie, with Nathan Fillion in it.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody sings, like, a song to mess with him. And somebody AI'd that to Mordecai.
Yeah.
And it sounds good. And that's all I'm thinking about now that we're talking about Mordecai.
Ew. Sorry, just when you say AI'd a song, I don't like those.
I don't mind the joke stuff, but when it comes to, like, people trying to make,
like, pop stars.
Yeah.
It's no longer a joke when it's literally Hank Hill sings XYZ, and it's literally every freaking country song.
Yeah.
Like, it's no longer, it was funny at first, but it's like, literally, let's just have him do all the songs and just make money off of this.
I can see that, because it gets, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, the market gets flooded kind of deal? Yeah. Like, it's overdone?
I don't care that it gets flooded. I just don't want it to. It's AI in general.
Yeah. You know? No, I agree. Now, AIR is what I never will do.
Yeah.
Never.
It was fun at first when they made all the really fucked up looking images. When it wasn't the AI art, it was like the AI image generator.
Yeah,
when you would type in something like Arl Stein and Slabby chilling, you know, you'd get funny pictures like that.
Yeah.
You know, but now it's like, I need to put in all this stuff and make all of the pornography.
Oh, no. Oh.
So many porns. So many.
I never thought about that.
Oh, Roll 34, XXX, filled with AI-generated porn.
So many pornographic slappies, you have no idea. Yeah.
That's all I look at.
It's
like, it's just slapping his dick around.
I never thought of that way. And now I am more afraid of AI.
Dun, 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 dun.
There you go.
The AI that fucked me. That's a new goosebump.
No.
This story gave me mad Get Out vibes with the old ladies coming onto the boys like this.
Yep. Yeah.
And you guys even made, I believe Noelia was the first one to mention it during episode. Yeah. It's funny. This is the only story in this Tales book not to mention Halloween. And if you look at the cover, what's it got?
Oh.
What's on that cover?
Tales to give you still more goosebumps. Special edition number 4, Arl Stein.
I think he means it the says picture. Spooky. The picture.
The picture. The picture.
There's a spooky pumpkin.
It's like he's just saying the one, like, sorry, the title.
My cataracts is messing up, man. it's like
trick-or-treating
pumpkin. Trick-or-treating skeleton.
Yeah, it's Curly the skeleton trick-or-treating with his dog, Drool.
Yeah.
That is a cute
Unfortunately, he has design. A hole in his bag, and now all the candy is falling out in a perfect pyramid.
Because there was a knife.
Ghost Dog.
Yeah, Drool's actually a real dog. He's just an actual dog.
Oh, okay.
He's just wearing a ghost outfit because, you know, it's the cute thing to do.
I like how it's coming from its jowls.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Why is the jack-o'-lantern looking at me? It shouldn't be looking outwards. It's just...
Oh, that's very true.
Yeah, that's true, because it's looking into the house versus looking out. Maybe, you know...
Maybe, unless it, like, got scary and turned its head around.
It's just like...
Yeah, there you go.
And if you're curious, Aunt Dahlia has made another appearance in the Goosebumps series, actually.
Oh.
Besides the comic as an aunt. Mm. She appears in Goosebumps the Game. Yeah, you dispose of her in almost the same way as you did in the book. Minus throwing the prune juice, you just slip it into her cup and watch her die. Or you can drink the prune juice and die yourself.
Oh my goodness!
That's hilarious.
Yeah, you can't continue the story until you kill Aunt Dahlia.
That's so messed up.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, well, survival of the fittest, I guess.
Yep. Fun fact, this story makes Spongy very uncomfortable for obvious reasons.
Spongy!
I had to put that in there because I know that Spongy has said it many times that this is one of the stories he does not care for.
Mm.
For very obvious reasons, you know?
No, I cannot. I can care less, Spongy. Also.
Yeah, we feel you.
Alright, random question time. Do you guys have any questions to be asked around on this one, based around this story?
Based around the story.
I'll go ahead and throw one. Are you a fan of prunes? Obviously Noelia not, because she's never had a prune.
I don't mind them.
Yeah, I like Sololitos.
Ooh.
I like raisins.
Sololitos are prunes.
Yeah, they're dried plums. They're dried plums.
Dried plums are prunes.
Right.
Wait, let me double check that. I'm going to verify this. Hold on.
No, I think you're right.
That sounds correct.
I think prunes are dried plums.
Yeah, I could never stand, like, pickled plum or nigiri. Those are too sour for me.
Yeah, prune is a dried plum.
Yeah.
Huh.
But yeah, so those are tiny.
Plums. Yeah.
Yeah, salted.
Yep, oh, salted
those
prunes.
Those things are really salty.
And they're so addicting.
They are good.
God, I love them in an orange.
That makes me want to go.
I used to love them in lemons. And then
lemons,
And then I realized I couldn't do it anymore.
It kills your teeth.
Yeah, it does.
It really kills your teeth. That's why I kind of prefer the orange one, because the acidity's not as bad. But yeah. I mean, it's still bad.
It's also sweet sour.
Yeah.
Or sweet salty.
A little sweeter. Yeah. That's my one thing. I mean, I like a prune juice. I like a Sololito. I don't think I've ever had just plums. Plumes by themselves. Prunes by themselves.
Plums by themselves are alright. They're not my go-to
favorite.
They
taste like big... raisins or something?
No, they're like a almost like a peach.
Oh, do they taste like figs?
No. They taste like from what I remember, they taste sour.
That makes sense because this juice is kind of sour.
Yeah, it's like a peach with a consistency of kind of like a mix between watermelon and. Pear. Like, it's kind of weird.
Kind of soft,
but, like, it's not like an apple or, like, a pear where it's, like,
solid. Well, yeah,
because
it's dried up. It's dried up fruit tends to be softer.
Yeah.
Depending on what kind of fruit.
Oh, we're talking about prunes? I was talking about plums.
No, prunes.
Oh, okay. The prunes are straight up, like, yeah. It's like, what's a good...
Because I've had a plum before.
Have you had a dried mango?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that, exactly like that, a lot more chewy.
Okay.
More chewy?
Yeah.
I do love a dried mango.
Because I remember having, like I said, having to eat them or drink them.
Those things hurt my jaw after a while, dried mango.
Oh, I love it. I could go, you know what, let's go out, get some Sololitos, get some dried mangoes.
Yes, please.
Some oranges.
Oh, yeah. Some Sololitos, oranges. Oh, you know what's good? A lime and Sololitos is also really good. Still very acidic, but
I don't think I've done that.
I've only tried the orange, but now I want to try a lemon.
Yeah, lemon's the classic one, I think, personally.
That's when you're a kid and you're like, you could do anything.
Yeah.
I
don't know about you, Elise, but I know that all I did was just squeeze the lemon and drink the juice. But
yep.
I never ate the fruit or anything like
that. Oh, no, I ate the whole thing.
Yeah. No, I'd only squeeze and have the juice.
I remember eating a Sololito with lemon, and during my ceremonies, when I was a kid, I'd run away from, like, my cousins.
Yeah.
And one of them grabbed me, because they were bigger.
Yeah.
And one of them grabbed me, and I just ate the salito, and I had the nut, and I spit it in their face.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you swallowed it.
No, I spit it in their face, and it was my older cousin, Letty. Yeah. She's going to Tucson, but anyways, she dropped me because she got grossed out. And I ran my
very ass. Fair. I'd be grossed out as well.
Just a small little story. It's funny.
That's fun. It's
a kid story.
Yeah, I remember my most like the time I remember having lemon saladitos the most was during the rodeo parade. Like we would always pack that and like egg burritos.
Nice. That sounds delicious.
Egg burritos are good.
Alrighty. So that's all I got really for questions.
I'm trying to think of one.
If you don't, you're okay.
What are egg burritos?
It's just a burrito with eggs.
Oh.
Eggs and cheese.
I thought you said like the number 8 at
no,
first,
egg,
and then
egg.
You said something. I was like, oh.
Alrighty. So normally, I don't think you guys have been around for this, but I've changed the pairings to what inspired the Stein. So in this segment, I talk about what may have inspired Arl Stein with this story.
All right.
So I have a few ideas of what may have inspired Arl Stein for this story. Let's go with the first one, which is my joke answer. Stein was constipated and forced to have prunes. This sparked a midlife crisis, as he was 52 when this book was published.
Oh.
And he wanted to write that journey of feeling old onto the page. Why he included the whoring off to old ladies, I don't know.
I feel like that has something to do with it, though. The age part, not the whoring off to ladies
part. Yeah,
part.
The age.
I
definitely felt that with this one.
Yeah, I always, for me, like, what I think inspired also is just, like, that idea is like when you're kids and you watch your like, grandparents eat certain things,
yeah,
because they're older or not be able to eat certain things, and you think, oh, that's an old person food kind of deal,
yeah.
And then with you guys, it's like, oh, it's like the whole reverse with the applesauce. If you eat something young, you get younger, or you stay younger, something like that. So that's how I felt when I watched the show, at least. It's like,
we don't go with vague ideas. We talk about actual pop culture things.
Oh my gosh.
Versus this one idea that I said for Arlstein.
This is my philosophy. Wee's philosophy.
Wee softly.
Wee softly. we're trademark that right now.
Nah. Now for some serious ones that aren't one-to-ones, but could have inspired him in all honesty. There was an EC comic story called Death Must Come. And a lot of people, at least in the fan community for Goosebumps, know that Arl Stein was a huge fan of EC Comics.
Oh, okay.
So a man rapidly ages after using special transplants to prolong his youth for 50 years.
Huh.
So, like I said, not a one-to-one, but definitely the rapidly aging thing kind of feels like it. You know, and definitely a kind of a twist kind of horror thing.
Yeah.
He saw that one part in Beetlejuice where they rapidly aged and saw a child bride and was like, I can work with this.
Damn. Jeez. That is very true.
Stein watched the movie Jack and was like a grown man with a mind of a child. I can work with this. Also, child bride.
Also, child bride.
Haunted Mask 2. He wanted to take everything fun out of that book and just leave the creepy part. Also, no Halloween.
Mm.
So, those are my kind of thoughts and ideas of what may have inspired Arl Stein with this story.
That's funny.
Yeah. Nice. There we go. So, I guess it's time for my book report on this one, guys. My review.
Review?
As a story of horror, this is good. Horror is meant to make you feel uncomfortable and shocked, and this story succeeds at that. The topic of child marriage is shocking and way too real to poke fun at. This story does use it as a means of horror, but in a lighter tone as to not be too real for the, you know, younger audience. Also, the fear of aging in this story is done well. I feel like R.L. may have actually had some notes on that, in all honesty. I like this one. It flows well, is a pretty shocking story when you get past the prunes rapid aging the characters. I don't think R.L. really made this story to make us think about, you know, the implications of, you know, child brides here.
Yeah.
But we are talking about it. So, there we are, kind of thing.
Mm.
I think R.L. thought the idea of rapidly aging kids and then selling them to retirees was a scary and funny idea. Like, he was just, like, thinking to himself, like, what if a child married an old lady? It'd be hilarious.
But the child was old.
But the child was also old. I'm imagining, yes. I think as an adult, this story loses that humorous charm, honestly, because it is kind of creepy.
It is creepy.
It's pretty creepy.
Yeah.
And it just kind of just becomes scary.
Do you think it's scarier in the book or on screen?
Book. Book is definitely creepier.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's a bunch of old ladies, like, coming on to
them. That's true.
Oh, yeah. Versus just the two. Yeah. And, like, they're all being creeps. Like, it's not as, like... Like, what they say in the show is what they say in the book, in the story. I give an old story 3.5 flirtatious old ladies out of 5. All right, that's the episode, guys. At the end of each episode, I'm cutting out throwing out links and stuff like that, because people aren't listening. But I will at least throw out the Patreon, because I do have a patron that does pay $1 a month, and he deserves to get a shout out. Trey, this is your shout out. Hi.
Hi, Trey.
Hi. But do follow the link tree below,
yes,
which will include everyone's links to all their respective pages and stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Because I feel like it is necessary to share that information still, and you guys should be checking everyone else's work here.
Yay.
So thank you for joining us, guys, and go out on an oldie, Chris. Bye-bye.